Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I am so thrilled that you joined me today, because today, of course, you're going to get some more insight into your own sex and happiness. I'm going to be interviewing somebody about how sacred sex is. And he's actually using a book where he writes in a kind of a fantasy way about how sex becomes more and more sacred. And so without further ado, I just want to introduce Jason Hairston, who is a conscious relationship coach and energy healer. He helps his clients develop a stronger relationship with self, which in turn attracts better relationships with others. Jason, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thanks for having me on, Lori. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on. Now, for those of you who don't know, I've been following Jason for a while on Facebook, and he's very prolific, and he's strongly opinionated, which, you know, I am too, so I like people like that, and I'm thrilled to have him on the show today. He recently contacted me because he has this new ebook called The Sacred Sexual Journey of Antonio Commons, and when he suggested that I look at it, I said, why don't I interview you? So I got a chance to look at the book and read some chapters of it, and I also got a chance to have him today on the show. So, Jason, let's get started. How did you discover that sex was sacred? Like, when on your journey did you realize, wait a minute, there's something more here to sex than maybe I thought I knew?
Well, it happened kind of unexpectedly, but before I had the experience of experiencing sex within its sacred nature, I was introduced to a Tantra workshop, and that workshop showed me how we are energy beings and how we can tune into each other's energy and have an intimate experience without it being physical. So after that workshop, I connected with the woman, and we had that type of experience, which the energy and the physical connection was deep. And she had visions of us in the past life. She opened up things within me that I discovered about myself. So that's why I'm using this story to show people that sex can be an act where you could heal from it. You can tap into past life visions. You can experience pleasure, of course. But there's a deeper aspect to sexuality that's not really talked about in the mainstream. So I want to use a story to pull people in and to help them remember. You know, it's all about remembering who we are, you know, and that this is a sacred act. So I'm hoping that this story can help awaken people's memory about who we really are and what our true nature is.
That's great. It's a great way to do it, and it's great that you realize that and that you understand that. Now, go back a little further for me. I want to talk about the story as well, but go back a little further for me, if you will. Uh-huh. What led you to a Tantra workshop? Did somebody drag you kicking and screaming?
Pretty much, yeah. A friend of mine said, you want to go to Tantra? And I knew that. I figured back then it had something to do with sex. Okay, I'll go. At first, I wasn't going to go, but, you know, I decided to go, and that's what really pushed me in this direction to remember who I am, in a sense, because as far as Tantra, I never studied under anyone. I just remembered how to do it. I started actually practicing moving energy. And now I don't even have to use my hands anymore to do work on people. I could just sit there. So I'm starting to slowly remember that I've done this before. You know, because it's pretty automatic. for me to be able to use energy healing techniques, and I can move energy in my own unique ways.
Mm-hmm. So basically what you're saying is you tapped into your own remembering really who you are as an energy being.
Yes.
That you are creating your own style and your own system for doing that.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's great. So you actually can read energy like without touching someone. Even.
Yes, I can do long distance healing sessions through Skype. I've done it before with clients all over the world, and I can actually tune into your energy by just being around you. I can tune into your chakra system and know which chakras are blocked. I can feel it.
Wow, I didn't know that when we were just speaking right before this interview, when we were just looking at each other, but but it's fine with me. That's great, Jason. What a real talent to have. And like, what were you doing something different before all this?
Yes, you know, I've just been working regular jobs as an adult, but always on the side. I've always been into different things, the arts. You know, when I first moved to Atlanta in 99, I was a producer. So, you know, I produced a song for this R&B artist, Angie Stone, who was pretty popular, and I managed a few hip-hop artists. And then I got into film. I write movie scripts. I have a few movie scripts. Mm-hmm. And I was working with a film company called Made You Look Films with a talented director named Carlos Ramsey. We're looking forward to producing projects that are conscious, that have messages within them. So I've always been into creating things, creating from the arts, and that's just the type of person that I am. You know, I never really had the desire to have a quote-unquote regular career.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to create, teach, and spread love.
That's great. I mean, who could argue with that? That's wonderful. Thank you. I mean, thank you for the gift that you're bringing to the world. That's the way I look at it. And I feel the same way. I've had a few what you'd call regular jobs, but I always had to move on. Like, I'd do something for a few years, and then I'd say, oh, I got to create something else. And I, too, make films, and I never imagined that I'd make films. I have a radio show. I never imagined that I ever – I mean, just these things just happen as a result of keeping creating. So – I'm a kindred spirit with you, and I can hear that you have a lot of creativity in you and that you're just going to keep going and going, putting a message out there that's important to the world. So what really is the message? Let's start from what you said when people wake up. That's my word, wake up. When people wake up and they remember who they are, like, who are they?
Okay. When you wake up to who you really are, you realize that you are not this physical vehicle that you are in. You are inside of it. The real you is energy. And you're connected to everything and everybody through this energy force.
Mm-hmm.
And once you recognize that and you step into a sexual activity, you experience more than the physical aspect. You literally experience energetic orgasms. I remember I told my uncle one time, I said, did you know that you can have an orgasm without ejaculating? He looked at me like I was a crazy man. You know, I mean, and I know, I understand it's hard for a man to even imagine that if you don't tap into this aspect of sexuality.
Right.
Even when I was young, you know, I thought that, you know, you had to ejaculate to have an orgasm, and that's how you end the sexual act. But when you tap more into your energy, you begin to feel other aspects of self that goes beyond the physical, you know, and it takes you deeper. And this is, once you get to the point where you're experiencing sex from the energetic aspect, this is where the healing takes place. Because I've had sex with women times where a woman will start crying. Because what happens when you make love from love, and that within that space, a non-judgmental space, and you share that, when two people share that openness, all the emotional blockages that are within your chakra systems or within you automatically come to the surface. Because it's just like when you take a shower, when your pores open, the steam opens your pores. That's what mm-hmm. sacred sexuality does. It opens you up. So what needs to come out purges. So this is why I'm going to incorporate in later installments, because this is a book. It's a short book series. So later on in other installments, you'll see different scenarios with Antonio where certain things happen during these sacred sexual acts. You know, it may be a time where he starts crying, or the woman he's with starts crying, just to show you. People will think it's a fantasy, but it's really based off of true experiences that I've had personally.
Well, I actually want to get into that in a little bit more detail in the next part of the show, in the second half of this interview. I want to talk about some of the scenarios that you had, and I'll share some of the scenarios that I've had.
Okay.
So we can compare notes, and people, you know, people may think we're crazy.
Right. That's okay.
But, yeah, right.
my mama thinks I'm crazy. Boy, you crazy.
Who cares what they think?
Right.
It's absolutely true. So we're going to take a short break here. If you just tuned in, I am speaking with Jason Hairston, and he is my friend on Facebook, and that's how we met each other. And he's got a new book called The Sacred Sexual Journey of Antonio Commons. And he's writing it, as he said, in installments. And it seems like it's a fantasy book. It seems like it's a guy who's just really into sex and just trying to score every woman he comes across. However, it's deeper than that. It's much deeper than that. And we're going to talk about some of the experiences that this Antonio character, who really is probably Jason, and some of the female characters could be Laurie, because I've had some of the experiences that he's writing about. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, so you know what could be in store for you if you should decide to take a Tantra course and actually do some of the practices. It's what I've been telling you all along. When my first show was out, Tantra Cafe, and now my show, Sex and Happiness, you know I'm talking to you. So stay tuned. Stay right there. We will be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. This is Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm hosting the show today with Jason Hairston. And Jason has discovered a huge power inside of himself as a result of Tantra. He said in the first half that he went to a workshop kicking and screaming with a friend. He said it was about sex, so he figured he'd go, but other than that, he wasn't hoping for a lot. And then he discovered his energy, and he discovered what was possible in sexuality way more than sex or sexual satisfaction or a release, the end. And that's what we were talking about earlier when we first came together. So, Jason, now I want to talk a little bit about some of the scenes in your book. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but I do want to tantalize people a little bit so that they're attracted to go ahead and get your book at Amazon. Let's just talk about one of the scenarios. You start a couple of the chapters with some kind of a fantasy. You walk into a shop, you meet a woman, you kind of seduce her. And Antonio, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's Antonio.
But Jason, I know this is you.
Well, you know what? The story is loosely based off of my life experiences. This is true. It is loosely based.
I mean, let me just say this. I had an experience, and I write about it in my book, where I met a partner, and I didn't want to teach him Tantra. I wanted him to go to my teacher at the time. I wasn't teaching yet. But we sat in the position known as Yab Yum, where the woman sits in the man's lap. And we put on drum music, like beautiful percussive music by a friend of mine in L.A., Jim McGrath. We just put on his album and we sat in Yab Yum. We were completely clothed. We didn't have one stick of clothing off. But we sat in this posture, we breathed, and we went, we just went. And in the breath exchange, we connected to our energies, and then we took a trip kind of floating in and around the universe. And 4 hours later, we pulled ourselves out of it and looked at each other and went, wow, it's been 4 hours and we still have our clothes on.
Yeah.
So I'm sharing that with you because I want you to know that I actually get what you're talking about here, where you don't even have to put your hands on someone. In the book, you describe a scene where Antonio, loosely you, walks into a store, meets a woman, and you say to her, let's have a cup of coffee. And then she meets you later on at another, you know, in another time, in another place, and you just text her some fantasy that she's probably had or never imagined that she'd have, and then you tell her what's possible. What's the underlying healing? Like, does the character read this person and know what they need?
Now, see, at this point in the first installment, Antonio is still in his player phase. He hasn't fully awakened to the fact. At the end of the book, he realizes that he is. But during this first installment, he's slowly discovering. He slowly start to have these experiences that hints to him, that gives him the idea, oh, there's something deeper going on here.
Okay.
Now, this is similar to how I was, because there was a point where I was out having a lot of sex. And now it was more ego-based. It was more sexual gratification. But the difference for me and most men, even at that point in my life, was that I've always had pleasure or received pleasure and given pleasure to women. So seeing a woman in pleasure always pleased me. But it was still lower chakra activity to where I wasn't connecting to the sacred nature of it. So this is why this, I came up with this character, and I say it's loosely based off of me, because I've been Antonio. I've been there, and I've evolved to a man who understands sex is sacred, and women should be honored. They shouldn't be judged, and you should create a safe space for women so they can express themselves like their true and within their true sexual sensual nature, which should be celebrated instead of condemned and suppressed.
Or used.
Right, or used.
Yeah, it's to me, it was clear that that's where you were going, but thanks for explaining that he was still in his player, awakening out of his player stages right. In the beginning. Yeah. So what's your expectation of this? People will read the book and then they'll get it, what's possible for them?
Okay, here is my purpose and intention with this book. Some people will read it and consciously they won't understand that I am talking about true knowledge. But subconsciously, the book is encoded with energy. And when you read it, you're being fed whether you realize it or not. So on a subconscious level, it's going to help you. It's going to help unravel some things within you. My editor who edited this book, it was triggering her as she was editing it. It was hard for her to edit it because it was triggering ways, certain beliefs and things that she had centered around sexuality. It was triggering those things. Mm-hmm. So when she told me that, I said, this book is doing one of the things that I wanted to do. I wanted to trigger those emotions within you so it can help you purge. So the people who really haven't had secret sexual experiences, they probably think, oh, this is just sex and it's just turning you on. Because it's meant to turn you on, too, because I want those juices. Creative sexual energy needs to flow, especially within women. That's the nature of a woman, to flow like the ocean. So I want this book to turn women on. That's part of it, too. And then I want men to read it and see how you can ravish a woman and take her deeper and please her in a way that is not common when it comes to how a man goes about attempting to please a woman. So there are many aspects, and as well for the men too, to show them subconsciously, to feed them that knowledge as well about how it's sacred, and to remember to honor the divine feminine. But this is just the first installment, so I'm slowly pulling people in. And what I realized, because first I was going to write like a workbook to guide people, you know, about sacred sexuality. But I said, you know, I don't want to be all technical and come off preachy, so I'd rather just do it in a creative way to teach and entertain at the same time. I think that that would be more effective and an easier pill to swallow.
Mm. Yeah, I was wondering about that, so I'm really glad that you said that. I chose that myself. I thought about writing workbooks, but you know what? It's really hard to be with someone and have this workbook in your hand. You know, like, wait a minute, it says I should do this now.
Yeah.
And it says I should do this now, so this is better. You're painting a picture for people, and then they take it and they use their own creative energy in recreating a picture similar to yours, but not the same.
Right.
So it's very, very creative. Very creative. And you want women to get the message that they're sacred and that they can express themselves and that they don't need to be suppressed,
right,
that they have to let all that out. And you want men to get the message that they need to honor the sacred feminine.
Right.
It's, you know, it's timely. It's now. It's on purpose. It's wonderful. It's wonderful that you came to this as well. So now, has it changed your whole life? Has all this inner waking up and this inner guidance changed your whole life? I mean, have you changed all your friends? Have you changed everything about you as a result of waking up?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, the more you wake up, the higher you vibrate and the more people start to wither away. Now I'm at a point in my life to where I'm on a certain level of a vibrational level to where either you're going to feel my vibration and get scared and run away, or you're going to feel my vibration and break down and come back up. A lot of people run away. I don't have many friends, you know, because I know I see what my energy does firsthand. You know, it's either gonna scare you, and you're gonna go away, or it's gonna make you face your own belief systems. I don't even really have to say anything. I just know once you really know who you are and sit within that frequency, and your intention is truly love, you affect everything around you immediately as soon as you walk in the room. And this is why, you know, when it comes to sexuality, I can't just have sex with any woman. Because first of all, I know that where I'm going to take you, if I know you can't handle it, and if I know that you're going to become too attached to it and you're not ready to be able to experience something and possibly just let it go and just accept it as just that experience, I shouldn't be having sex with you. Another thing too, if I don't feel like I want to kiss you, if there's no connection, I shouldn't be having sex with you. Because the old me would just have sex with you because I'm just physically attracted to you. Now, I want to clear something up real fast, and I want to admit something about myself. I am very flirtatious, and I love to flirt. And even within that nature of myself, it does not mean that I have sex with a lot of women, because I don't. I'm in a relationship. Yeah. I'm in an open relationship, but I haven't had sex with a woman outside of our relationship yet. But I have the freedom to do so. But people confuse and think that when I talk about being sexually free, they automatically take that to the extreme of being promiscuous, because they have nothing to gauge that type of relationship with. So they just automatically think that means I'm just sleeping with a lot of women, which is not the case. So I'm going to clear that up. And another thing I want to clear up too, because some women have been offended by this book because of Antonio. He ravishes women and he, you know, gives them commands. But it's all in play. I want to clean that up. It's all in play. It's all about your intention. You know, and Antonio, some women, like one woman read some of it and she felt disrespected because of some of the things that Antonio did, but it's all in a playful way. Antonio's intention is not to make a woman feel less than. It's just his intention to really please. He really wants to please these women, even in his player stage, just like I did.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great that you say this, and I think it's I like it. I like you for what you're saying. You're actually being vulnerable here. Like, most men don't know their intentions a lot. or they know they just want to get laid and that's it, and you have this deeper meaning, and the explanation can empower some women and some men to get clearer about their own intentions. So, listen, you know, one of my great teachers was Werner Erhard, and he said, being not noticed is worse than being liked or disliked. You know, somebody, not everyone's going to like your writing,
right,
or what you're writing about, but them having a response to it and looking deeper into themselves or going deeper with you is the point of all of it. You're putting yourself out there and you're declaring yourself as an expert in something. And so some people are going to go with you and some people aren't.
Right.
Not your problem.
Right. I understand that too. But I still want to elaborate to bring some clarity, because I think sometimes, sure, you know, some of the things that I say and express are misunderstood. So it's not a matter of defending my perspective, but it's just a matter of bringing more clarity to it.
I totally understand. I mean, I have said to people that since I became a Tantra master, I have less sex than I had when I wasn't a Tantra master, because I have far more discernment.
Right.
And I think that's what you're saying. So,
same boat. I understand completely.
Exactly. Well, we're just about out of time here, so I want to give people a chance to hear the name of the book again and know they can get it on Amazon. And also, I want to give people a chance to know how to get in touch with you at your website in case they want to have a session or they want to meet you. You're based where?
I'm in Redondo Beach, California right now.
Okay. Okay, great. So the name of the book is The Sacred Sexual Journey of Antonio Commons, and it's written by Jason Hairston, and you can find that on Amazon.com. And you can reach Jason through his website. Jason, you want to say it?
Yes, it's jasonhairston.com.
Okay, and you spell that JasonHairston, Jason Hairston.
Yes.
Jason, thanks for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness. I'm thrilled to have had this talk with you, more than you know.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you, Lori.
Okay, really great. Everyone, stay tuned. I have another guest who's going to be talking about being a professional parent and what that means and how that could affect your sex and happiness. So after the break, we'll be right back with Lewis Morrow. Stay tuned.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Erotic Coast Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed
various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers, so your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I hope you enjoyed the last half of the show. We were talking about fantasy and people finding that sexuality is way more sacred than they ever knew, that it's not just a sexual act. And I told you that we were going to be hearing from my guest, Lewis Morrow, and he's with us now, so I'm going to let you know a little bit about him. Lewis Morrow is an expert on professional parenting and what it takes to raise fully functioning, self-determining adults. We're going to ask him about that because most people think they're raising children, and Lewis thinks that he's raising adults. His professional parenting methodology is recognized and practiced by therapists, psychologists, consultants, and life coaches with a proven track record of empowering any parent under any circumstances. So, Lewis, thank you for being on my show, and welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Pleasure, pleasure. Sex and happiness. It's kind of like how we, ideally, it's how we become parents.
Yeah, it is how we become parents, some of us.
But somebody's got to be sex somewhere in there.
There has to be sex somewhere in there. Well, I want to just tell everyone that you and I are great friends, and just so they know, because we'll be a little bit more familiar than I am with some of my guests on the show. Lewis and I have known each other for years and years. We probably met in 1994, and we've just been like two dolphins in parallel paths, growing and growing and growing. And so now Lewis has written this wonderful book about parenting, and we're going to hear about that. We're going to hear about, what's the name of the book?
I Am a Professional Parent.
Okay, I Am a Professional Parent. And let's just tell people right away where they can get it.
You get it on Amazon. Get it, you know, Kindle. You could also get it at aprofessionalparent.com. That's where you could buy it from Amazon. You could also buy it from me if you want a, you know, special edition signatures or a message. It'll take a little longer to get, but you still get the same book.
Okay, great. I mean, since I mentioned it, I figured we just put it out there and we'll mention it again. Parenting is something that's very, very key and critical to people. With, if we were to do a survey on people and ask them what's the most important thing in their life, what's their most important value, family would be right up there in the top two or the top three, if it isn't the top one. So, Lewis, tell us what you mean by professional parent and this comment that I made that you attest to raising fully functioning, self-determining adults rather than saying children. So give us a little bit of distinction around that, will you?
Well, the methodology, the professional parent methodology, where the intention is to support someone in raising fully functioning, self-determining adults, what they soon find out, what a reader soon finds out, is that in order to raise a fully functioning, self-determining adult, you have to become one. So, yeah, so yes, I could, you know, have enough of a track record of the distinctions working with my daughters, who are now 7 and 9, and I've been practicing them with my daughters literally since 3 years old and 4 years old. But the reality is that to the degree that we ourselves become fully functioning self-determining, we're the example for our children to become fully functioning self-determining.
Excellent. Very, very clear. And it's really a clear message, and it's so important.
Yeah.
So being a professional parent, like what is that the goal, to become a fully functioning self-determining adult?
That's you know, using the word goal is, it's a stepping stone. I would use the word goal as maybe a measure throughout the process, but it's really more of a practice. See, the thing about becoming a fully functioning self-determining adult, it's not like you get there, but once you declare yourself a professional parent, you start to think differently. And I have some like real life examples, and it's worked 100% of the time, where we'll work with a client or an individual, and you literally just ask them, you know, what do you do for a living? And people will say what they say. And I ask them, but what do you actually do for a living? And then they'll get deeper in what they say. And then inside of that, I ask them to, well, repeat after me. When I ask you what you do for a living, just say you're a professional parent. So I go, what do you do for a living? I'm a professional parent. And 99% of the time, you could hear it as they start to say it, a shift in their lives, literally their lives, like their being, their thinking. They start to say, wait a minute. And some people will respond, well, I don't want to be a professional parent. And then, again, you ask the question, okay, yeah, but we're just like an experiment. Just say, I'm a professional parent. Declare yourself, I'm a professional parent. What happened? They shift. And then I let them know, and just consider that everything else you do is to have you win at that.
Right.
It becomes a different context for life. And the thing to know is, early on in this interview, is that being a professional parent has nothing to do with having biological kids. There are plenty of people who are professional parents, nurturers, take care of the planet, take care of others, manage people, work with large amounts of people, are responsible for others, who are professional parents.
Well, then I must be a professional parent.
Oh, by far, given your work, you're 100% nurturing others to expand themselves.
I mean, absolutely.
It's that fundamental. And really, there are some people who just aren't meant to be parents. And they could have kids or not kids. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's their choice, and they'll become a parent when they're ready to become a parent.
Mm. I totally understand. Now, I feel like my parents shouldn't have had children. I'm really glad they got their job done and they got me here. But they were very happy by themselves, and they didn't do all that great. Like, they didn't, whatever. They were more into themselves in a certain way than they were providing something for us. I feel like my sister and I had to fend for ourselves. I always tell people I was raised by wolves.
That's funny. Well, the way I address an element of what you're saying is that some people are just not done raising themselves. It's really that they're just not done raising themselves. And you know, a natural question that some people would ask is, well, how do you know when you're a fully functioning, self-determining person? How do you know? And there's a very simple yet profound response, which is, well, when you could have a conversation with anyone, anywhere, anytime, about any topic, and actually be in the conversation, listen to all sides of the conversation as truth for the people in the conversation, make it your own truth in a conversation, that's when you start to become a fully functioning, self-determining adult. And then you have people say, well, I could do that. And then my first response is, okay, well, let's talk about politics. Oh, wait a minute. Let's talk about religion. I don't know about that. Let's talk about sex. Oh, we can't talk about that.
I see what you mean. So it's like they're in reaction to something, or they're listening to somebody else's beat of the drum, rather than having their own opinions about things like politics or sex or things that people would get heated about, have strong opinions about, and possibly argue.
The range of emotional landmines are massive. You know, it's like you can't have a conversation about politics or religion. You know, forget those two, sex. The fact that as adults, and children too for that matter, but as adults, we can't have conversations about sex. It's limiting. It limits our potential as a human race. And to take it a step further, the ability for an adult to have a conversation about sex with children, their own children, a lot of dysfunctional conversations going on out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, of course, there's Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy.
Which is, you know, quite frankly, it's actually okay because that's an ability to have any conversation like Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy, and it plays its course. And, you know, like with my girls, they already know the distinction about age appropriate and there's a time for everything. So they'll know there's some conversations that we could now have, and there's other conversations. You know, I'll have that conversation 2 years from now. For now, I want the Tooth Fairy to give me $5.
Very good. Well, obviously, so you're giving them distinctions in themselves, in their own age appropriateness and what have you, which I think is, I mean, I think it's phenomenal. You're a single parent, yeah.
Yeah, full time single dad, going on 5 years now, and like a real deal full time. I mean, I have them full time. There's no full time.
Yeah, there's a few things. I'm glad that you wrote a book about it. Because I imagine when it first happened that you became a single parent, it wasn't exactly a cup of tea or a waltz in the park.
I like the waltz in the park. It would have been nice. Well, yes. And the thing is, I have 24 years of coaching and transformational training and leading courses to others and being led and trained and worked with so many companies and people that when I found myself in that situation, it was really interesting because there I am in this situation where now, without getting into the details of it, I mean, I ended up homeless with my two girls. So I'm homeless in Montecito, California, which is, you know, one of the richest cities in the world. You know, and I'm a black Cuban, so I don't necessarily fit the profile. It took something. I could have gone a lot of different directions, but I decided to stay. And inside of that, I decided to use my 24 years of training and development to create distinctions and actually stay empowered no matter what. And I'm very proud of that, Lori, because there's people, as you know, well, I think you know, that have read my book or PhDs, doctorates, have done transformational training and coaching, you know, their whole life, their entire lifetime. And the distinctions that emerged out of this book expand from those distinctions. So it might be a different slice at some things that are known, but for sure, the methodology stands alone. It stands on its own. And I'll tell you later how one thing I noticed about that. Well, I can tell you right now. I noticed that a lot of the training that's out there, like when I study and look at all the different people who, you know, create programs, and there's a ton of them, and I love them all. I have my favorites. But I noticed that almost all of them never actually raised their children. And a lot of the distinctions are created after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, it was something because there I am in the heat of it. And when you have two daughters going, daddy, 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 it's like a machine gun. I'm like Saving Private Daddy. I'm like running, trying to hide. I'm like, daddy, you go crazy. You go berserk.
Right.
I mean, I remember one time, one of the first, when I finally got my little cottage in Montecito, it was my like third day there. Okay, what do I do now? I don't have a pot to piss on. I got two kids. I was able to get this place by the graciousness of the landlords were just giving saints who gave me an opportunity because they could have said, no, I was in no position to even, I didn't even know where my next dollar was going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there and trying to create some work on my computer, and the kids are playing Lava Monster. Now, Lava, and there were 3 and 4. Lava Monster basically means that they throw everything on the floor all over the house, and their goal is you can't touch the floor. You got to cover the floor because the Lava Monster will get you. My place was a mess. I was fuming. I'm sitting there just about to rip my own head off. Now, they're just looking at me, and all they see is, you know, a guy in front of a computer. I want to kill. And they're jumping around playing, having a blast. But I had enough training to distinguish that, okay, that's what they're doing. These are the facts. What am I making up here? Which are distinctions that are available in different places, you know, separate facts from story. That's all great. And they work. It works. But
yes.
I wanted to create something and look at something that really just took me to a whole new place. And I started to look at the combinations of language and how we say things. Because you could learn something, and if you say it one way, it could work for you today. If you say the same thing the same way in a new circumstance, it won't work for you.
Exactly.
So you have to always keep on expanding your combinations of language, like a combination lock, like, you know, three words to the left, two syllables to the right, until you find the combination of language that gives you freedom. And I have this wealth of education that I could create combinations of language all over the place. But every single combination I had was not working. So then I finally got to this thing. Okay, look, what hooks me is me. Because if I really get down to it, I'm making something up here. I'm resisting something. I'm not complete with something. I'm not being responsible for something. Because they're having a blast. They're playing and laughing, and I am livid. What's wrong with this picture? Now, look, history has it that...
Well, I got to stop you here for a second. So I'm gonna have to interrupt you,
yes.
And we have to come back to language.
Excellent.
We have to come back to language right after the break.
Excellent.
Hopefully people are on the edge of their chair because this is so important in any relationship, especially relationships with children, but in relationships with your partner, if you have one, with your ex-partner, if you have one, with your parents, with everybody. This is so critically important to have distinctions in language and being able to create, like you said, a new combination. So we're going to stop right there. We'll be right back with Lewis Morrow, who has written a book called I'm a Professional Parent, and this has everything to do with sex and happiness. So stay tuned.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
You're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host, and I'm interviewing Lewis Morrow today, who's written a book called I'm a Professional Parent that you can get on Amazon.com or Kindle or from him. I'm at the edge of my chair because he was just talking about how when he was first singled as a parent, the kids were playing something, Lava Monster, and Lewis was seeing red. I think that's what you talked about and how you had to say things differently. So please tell us the moral of this story.
So there I was. I wanted to literally, I could have, short of physically really doing it, I was just angry and I could have killed somebody. And I'm confident that every single parent who has kids, quite frankly, every single human has been to that point. I was there. And they're laughing and playing and having a blast. So I look at it and say, okay, what's hooking me here, what's getting me upset here is me. What are they doing? Who are they being? How are they acting that I do or have done before or maybe did in the past and didn't complete or wish I was doing? I went through this series of like a matrix of questions that I started asking myself to get to the fact that whatever was hooking me is me, not what they're doing because they're having a blast. See, if I was doing what they're doing, I'd be having a blast. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hit me like a bullseye when I cracked the combination. They're like, they're having a blast, they're relentless, they refuse to not have fun, they're passionate for everything that's going on, and I started laughing because I'm just like that. I'm like passionate for life, I refuse to quit and give up, always creating stuff, having fun, and I laugh. I mean, I do stand-up comedy, I was cracking up. I crack up. And in that moment, when I saw that my two little girls were simply being little versions of me, only they were doing a different task. The rest was I cracked up. I laughed. It just freed me up. They were happy because they kept on playing. I wasn't, you know, stopping them from playing. And I focused on my work. And then out of nowhere, I heard a scream. Ah! I was like, what happened? And they looked at me and goes, you're the lava monster!
So, That had to take you away from your computer at that point. You had to then become the character.
Well, yeah. No, and the other thing is I gave them the 5 minutes of the character. They got what they wanted, their daddy playing with them. And I was able to go back to work, create, do what I need to do. They were happy. I was happy. And it was everybody was fulfilled. I could tell you a real-to-life where this applies, and I'll tell you a quicker version that happened this morning. My daughter, London, she was, like, taking her time getting dressed to go to school. And we had to be there at a certain time because Kylie has her choir, and she's performing today, all that stuff. And London is not hurrying up. So I said, London, please hurry up. We're going to be late. And she goes, I'm hurrying up. I go, no, but London, hurrying up means you actually are moving and you're putting your clothes on, and you're actually, I want to see action where your legs are going into your pants. Stop yelling at me, she says. But London, I'm not yelling at you. I'm telling you to hurry up. She goes, you're yelling at me, and you're yelling at me as I'm talking. So in her mind, I'm yelling at her, right? And then I tell her, London, you're yelling at me. Don't yell back at me as I'm talking. And she goes, but I'm telling you the same thing. And I caught myself. I go, it's interesting. It's hysterical. She's doing exactly what I'm doing to her. So what I get to distinguish is, you know, what I call last word Louis. I said, London is like last word London. And you know what? I'd rather have her have the last word. Because quite frankly, none of us will ever have the last word. Ever. Ever. When we die, but in one sense, there's no last word. It's like to argue for the last word is like insane. It's insane to argue for the, and there's time you know, you do get the opportunity to have the last word, which is a gift somebody gives you, and probably more powerful to give people the gift of the last word. Such as giving the last word. And let me tell you, when I look at the percentage of strife, if you will, of arguing or all that stuff that people deal with, there's very little bit of that in my space with my daughters. Even Kylie once said, you know, Daddy, we laugh a lot, don't we? I said, well, what do you mean? I go, no, like, we're laughing. Like, we're always laughing. And I started to laugh. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, no, it's like, we're abnormal. Every day there's always something funny going on.
You're not normal, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, and under the circumstances that we're dealing with, remember, you know, again, I'm still coming out of the homeless and rebuilding my business and now professional parent associates, thank God, and like that. You know, you need distinctions to stay empowered no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, the distinctions you're talking about sound exactly the same as in any good relationship, the kind of communication and languaging that one would want in any relationship, in any intimacy. And it sounds like you have distinctions that allow your daughters to be intimate with you. And that's why you're all laughing so much, because you're having a great relationship. I mean, I'm going to say to you, I mean, I imagine that being a single parent and being near homeless has probably put some kind of a dent in your sex life. And probably, it doesn't sound like you care, but I'm not going to weigh in for you. You're going to have to say.
Using the word dent is kind of, it's an interesting word. It's a dent. I'm visualizing a dent. But I get it.
A stop.
Well, you know, there's a responsibility that I bring to it from my end. So, for example, my ex, she met another guy and the whole thing, and she wanted to go do her life. And in the beginning of my separation, one of the promises I made to myself was, I'm never going to deny my love for you. And this is one of the things the book is about. You're the mother of my daughters, and my daughters are never, ever, ever going to experience their father hating their mother. It's not going to happen.
Right.
No matter what you did. And, you know, and quite frankly, I could go down the list and have plenty of reasons to be mad and upset and all that stuff. But one of the things, and this relates to the sex question, one of the things that I distinguished early on, which gave me more power and freedom to not deny my love for her and my love for myself, you know, loving love, and still have a relationship with her. And that was, I distinguished that we just have different integrities. It's very simple. And once I was able to own that and really get that, you have your version of integrity, and I have my version of integrity. There's almost no wrong that the person could do. It's like, okay, well, that's your version of integrity. Doesn't work with my version of integrity. We could try to create a combination of language where we both have the same integrity in some areas, but the truth of the matter is we just don't, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when it comes to sex, for example, I was raised by a single mom. I love sex, by the way, and I think I'm pretty good at it. At the same time, I honor it in a way that I've just not, I'm not like, you know, excuse my language. I'm just like screwing around for the sake of screwing around, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm also very conscious of the whole physical disease world and all that stuff. I mean, to the point, like, I'm one of those guys who, like, I have my papers, you know what I mean? I literally do. I got my papers. Let me see your papers. I always tell people, if you want to go on a great first date, take someone to get a donate blood, because the questions alone will weed it out. When you donate blood, they ask you all these questions, and it's like, that was a bad joke.
I never thought of that. I always ask people when the last time was that they were tested, but donate blood, that's another way around that. That's very cool.
Yeah, because when you donate blood, they put you through a series of questions. That's pretty, you know, it's pretty fair. Now, you could obviously lie, but if you do lie, they'd catch you 6 months later for lying.
Right.
Not that you, anyway, the point is it you want to respect yourself and the other person also. So with that said, yes, in the beginning, I didn't say the beginning. I just wasn't interested in sex. I was more interested in having my girls be great. And that foundation first. I have no problems taking care of myself. I have if someone could beat me on a date, that's awesome because I'm a great date. You know, no pun intended when I said if somebody could beat me on a date. And then now, you know, I have a lot of awesome women friends, like girlfriends, like women who are friends, mm-hmm. moms, married, single, everything in between. And I think it has a lot to do with being raised by a single mom where, you know, I love people. I love women, and I get it. I get women. I was a young man growing up with a single woman in America, a Cuban-American immigrant. She went through some shit, you know? And she was smart, yeah. Professional, and she never sold out in her integrity and character. I rather have that intimacy and friendship that I know exists because I have it with, you know, people. I call it the attainable mm-hmm. but unexplainable. It's attainable, but you can't explain it. The moment you start to explain it, you kind of lose it. Very few of the people who I think could have that kind of relationship and then also have sex and keep that relationship. It's like sex, it seems, then becomes about something else, maybe even an ownership, which could ruin the beautiful friendship. Now, with that said, you know, I know that the work you're doing and part of being a fully functioning self-determining adult is that you could have these conversations.
It's just, absolutely.
I mean, it's just, can you stay in the conversation, please? That's all I ask for somebody. And then from there, you kind of decide if you're with a person who you at least have the same realm of language combinations or avoid language locks. I call them language locks. When somebody's like locked into a position of a cliche or something, it's like, yeah, it's hard work. But I love sex, and I'm sure that I suspect that I'll be having much more as time goes on.
Yeah, that's great. In the previous part of the show, the man that I was interviewing, Jason, and I talked about the fact that since we became tantric, we have less sex than we had before because we have more discernment yes. than we ever had.
Yes, that word is it on the nose.
Discernment, yeah. It's really, really a critical word for people's vocabulary. Well, we don't have much time left in our interview, so let me ask you just if you could. Your girls are still kind of young. What did you say their ages are? 6 and 9?
7 and 9 now.
7 and 9. Okay, so soon is going to be the time when you are going to have to talk to them about sex.
I've already done that. My girls already know how babies are born, what sex is, how to be responsible, and what's age appropriate, how not to let... I'm going to say in particular boys, but anybody touch them inappropriately, they have full freedom and the grace of whatever God you want to believe in, but the full grace of entering to life that they could say anything to me anytime about anyone, anywhere. If they have no fear of talking to me, I don't get mad at anything they say. I even notice how they'll hesitate in saying something to me, and I know that they're learning that hesitation out in the world.
Yeah,
which is fine because, you know, they're out in the world. So I'm always constantly freeing them up from having any hesitation of saying anything to me. And I hear it without the drama or the reaction of, oh, my God, what's going on? What do you mean? None of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say Kylie more than London. Kylie's, you know, a little bit, the older one, the 18 months apart. Kylie already knows, and this is awesome, okay? If a kid bothers her in school, the first thing she'll say is, you know, but I could see how I do that to my sister. So she gets that what hooks her is her. That does not take the other person off the hook. It doesn't mean that someone else is not responsible for their action, especially if they're physical action. It just gives her the power and freedom to really just choose and stay in action versus a victim to someone else's words or actions or whatever. The other thing that I've done with the sex conversation is I've actually asked other women and other mothers in particular to, you know, quite frankly, you know, teach them how to clean themselves and take showers and baths and stuff like that, which I do what I do and I've done what I've done. But now they're at the age where I'm honoring and creating privacy for them, you know, their own personal privacy. And then last but not least, of course, their mother, who does see them, you know, when she sees them, she provides whatever she provides, and they're going to get educated however they get educated, you know.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a great job in educating them and yourself, and it sounds like educating yourself is where you had to focus and keep expanding and keep educating and keep opening so that you could be who you are in this mission of parenting. It's amazing. Lewis, thank you so much. It's such an honor and a privilege to know you and to know what you're doing with these two girls.
Thank you.
Really, really, congratulations.
Thank you. And it's my spiritual treat to have this conversation with you specifically.
Thank you. Me too, you. So you can get the book once again. It's called I Am a Professional Parent. You can find Lewis, by the way, on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, it's Lewis Morrow, LuisMoro, and it's actually Lewis Morrow, and you can find some things about him there, and you can see the cover of the book, and you can order that book. I Am a Professional Parent at Amazon.com or at Kindle, or you can go to, where should they get it at your website? What website will you drive them to?
They could go to aprofessionalparent.com.
Okay, really great. Lewis, thanks for this interview. I love you, and I'm thrilled for you. I know this is a success. As a matter of fact, I think that every guy and every woman should read this book. I think men need to read it because they are often absentee parents, and obviously you didn't have the luxury to be that, and you're proving it to be a blessing. So that's my signing off for you. It's wonderful. Everyone stay tuned next week. I will have another amazing set of guests for you. This is Laurie Handlers signing off from Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-